Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, I have a new cell phone. Well, actually, it's not new. It's an old cell phone that I've had for several years, and it doesn't have a lot of the newest bells and whistles, but it gets the job done. And even though it isn't new, you know, it goes through those system updates from time to time. I'm sure yours does too, and I'm sure you have a much newer one than I have. But I noticed that, you know, one of those system updates recently updated the calendar app. Yours probably does that too. And now the calendar, you know, is one component of my cell phone, my old cell phone, that I do use every day. And one of those new updates was to the pre-programmed holidays that they automatically list. You know, I couldn't help but notice that when my cell phone calendar flipped over to June 1st, up popped the pre-programmed holiday listing, first day of LGBTQ+ Pride Month. Now, had I programmed that into my calendar? No. Was I given a choice to add it or not? No. It was done automatically. And if I wanted to change it, now I'd have to jump through some hoops to make that change. You know, that's a microcosm of what we face from those who've chosen to live the gay lifestyle. And their choice is not just to be acknowledged or tolerated, but it's to be celebrated these days. And if not, there are penalties to be paid. Just ask the 5 Tampa Bay Rays Major League Baseball players who chose not to wear the Pride logo patch on their uniforms during the Pride Night celebration baseball game recently. These 5 players are Christians who quietly made their choice. But after the game, they were asked by the media to defend their choice. They said that while they respect all people, they felt that wearing the Pride logo was at odds with what Jesus taught, so they made a faith-based decision to forego wearing the patch that night. No big deal, right? Wrong. It took only really a few minutes after that interview before an ESPN reporter went on a long-winded rant against the 5 players, completely mocking their faith-based choice and calling them bigots. This is another example of the price we Christians pay for living as believers in our modern-day Babylon. No doubt you who work in today's workplace know of similar sensitivity training instructions that allow for one group's choice where you're expected to not just accept it but celebrate it, and yet not allowing for even a modest amount of respect for your choice in return. Yes, we live in Babylon. And Satan is alive and well. These are difficult times for believers. But the good news is, God is still on His throne. And we know His heart aches over how we as a culture have completely lost our way and our understanding of sexuality. God's heart aches for the lost. And before we are tempted to adopt a self-righteous attitude, let's remember, we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. We each were once lost until Jesus saved us by His grace. As I've said many times, lost people act like lost people because they're lost people. And rather than go on our own rant over the LGBTQ+ community, may our hearts ache for those who are lost, just as God's heart aches. As our author Erwin Lutzer writes in his book that we're studying, The Church in Babylon, on page 148, he writes this, our churches, he says, should be easy to, let me read again, it's easy to portray those who struggle with gender dysphoria or identify with the opposite gender rather than their biological sex as somehow being out there and forgetting that we're all members of a fallen humanity and humbly grateful for God's undeserved mercy toward us. He goes on to write this, our churches should be welcoming beacons of hope in a world that is broken. We must compassionately see people who are trying to fix themselves, trying to manage emptiness, pain, and loneliness. Like any of us, they're looking for ways to find meaning for their lives, to find a semblance of peace, and they're going to great lengths to do it. And he writes over on 149, we must distinguish between accepting a person and approving of his or her conduct and attitudes. Every human being is created in the image of God and deserves respect, but not every human being deserves our approval of their conduct and lifestyle. Well, you know, how does that impact your thinking? To remember they are searching for meaning, trying to fix their hurt, managing their pain. You know, behind the often seen anger and sometimes even outlandish behavior is real hurt. They are lost people. They are hurt people. We can accept them and respect them as people, yet not approve of nor celebrate their sin. Truth and love are not mutually exclusive. And God made abundantly clear his plan for sexuality. In Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we read, in Genesis 1, starting in verse 26, we read this, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. In Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall asleep, a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You know, our author goes on to illuminate this further. On page 151, we read this. God created only two sexes who are to complement each other in marital love, resulting in the development of families that populate this world. If you are a man, you will always have male chromosomes. If you are a woman, you will always have female chromosomes. Every cell in the body is programmed to be male or female. Every person, no matter their sexual orientation, had both a mother and a father. They would not exist otherwise. So what exactly is gender rebellion? He writes, to put it simply, it's an attempt to blur gender distinctions by saying that it's not your physical anatomy that defines gender, but rather it's what you feel or think you are. Well, we know specifically from Scripture that God created male and female. He did not make a mistake and later create more sexes or more options. God never changed his mind and his plan for sexuality, and he never makes a mistake. Facts are facts, and they can be helpful in our understanding of this issue. Our author in his book noted hundreds of scientific studies and research that, among other results, showed that members of the transgender population are at higher risk of mental health problems. They're 5 times more likely to attempt suicide, that only a minority of children who experience gender confusion will continue that into adolescence, and there is no evidence that these children should be encouraged to become transgender. So we need to pray for those caught in this life of gender confusion, for they are hurting. And also, we need to speak the truth in love. Look, chances are good. You have a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor who is part of the LGBTQ+ community. We are right to choose our words as Jesus did, in kindness and gentleness, and always telling the truth. Truth and love are not mutually exclusive. It is loving to protect girls in girls' locker rooms and restrooms, and boys in boys' locker rooms and restrooms. It is loving to protect girls' sports for girls' participation. It is loving to protect young minds from conversations about sex in the classroom and instead keep that sacred conversation to parents. It is loving for a child to be raised by a mother and a father. As our author stated, true love isn't defined by the world. It's defined by the one who laid down his life to redeem the world. As we have acknowledged, we live as aliens in our modern-day Babylon, we who are Christians. We know our battle is not against flesh and blood. Let's be clear about that. No, our battle's against Satan and his minions who seek to divide and destroy us. Our author concludes on page 169. Only when we see the depth of satanic deception are we able to help others see their problems from a divine perspective. Remember, those who walk in darkness do not see things as they are, but rather see things the way they want them to be. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." Let it be said, it is better to be accused of being harsh than it is to tell lies with hushed tones of compassion, love, care, and thoughtfulness. Concluding on page 170, he writes this, "To a world blinded by pain and finding only emptiness, Jesus makes this promise in Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.'" Let us continue to introduce this Savior to a hurting world. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.